of death. I'm choosing this morning somewhat of a drab and dreary subject because it's Sunday morning and a bright time, a time when all of us should be rejoicing in the Lord. But I trust that God might in some way stir you to think upon this solemn matter, that you might say that I know Christ is my Savior, heaven is my home, and death holds no fear for me. That man is foolish who gives no consideration to death. That man is foolish who simply lives along day after day, never thinks of death, pushes it away from him and says, I'll have no part with this. But likewise, a man would be foolish who would give all of his consideration to death until his life would be sad and morbid, until he'd turn away from the things that are useful and good. So he must see death as it is in the Word of God. Now Job had seen death. His children had been killed. His servants had been killed. He was sick himself, and he was faced with a brevity of his own days. Now with the uncertainty of life upon him, and with death before his eyes, we hear him say, on my eyelids is the shadow of death. On my eyelids is the shadow of death. Now with that as a text, let me give the following outline. Number one, we are marked for death. We are marked for death. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Job says, on my eyelids is the shadow, the mark of death. Now what's the Bible saying to us? It is saying this, that we must prepare to meet God, and that we must recognize that death is upon every man, that God is no respecter of persons. When sin entered into the world, then came death by sin. The great are marked for death. The noble, the high, the mighty, the well-known are marked for death, just as the poor and the despised and the forgotten. On last Friday in Nashville, Tennessee, when I picked up the morning newspaper, I saw the big headline, Percy Priest is dead. Here was a representative in the United States House of Representatives. Had been there for some 16 years, I suppose, or more. Well known in the city of Nashville. Known to the churches, a member of Park Avenue Baptist Church, where I preached a few years ago. A man outstanding in his life. A great man from the city of Nashville standpoint, certainly considered great. And yet at 56 years of age, death came and laid his hand upon him. And Percy Priest was dead in just a few moments of time. I say the great come to die. The insignificant come to die also. A few days ago, a man who has traveled around the world was telling me of an experience in a foreign land. In a portion of India, when he said there were people who had come to die and the bodies were left upon the streets. He said here would be a child, a baby. Here was another and an older one in different places as they would fall in death and would be left in the place where they had died. I say the insignificant come to die, those who may be forgotten and are not missed. But they come to die. The Christian also comes to die. He is marked for death. There is no difference. Only the second coming of Jesus Christ can keep us away from the casket and the grave. If Jesus comes, then if you're saved, you'll be caught up to meet him in the air. But if you're unsaved, you'll be left. But if Jesus tarries, then every child of God in this building is coming to the place of death. But I want to say something about the dying of the child of God. Listen, I've been standing by the bedsides of Christians who come to the time of death for 25 years, more than 25 years. This to me is outstanding, and when I thought of my message, and at this point of it being marked for death, I thought it was good. It matters not what a man may have as he walks through life. He may have some fears, and he may have some wonders in his heart, but when he comes to die, I've never known a child of God yet to face death and to come close to death with fear. I've shaken hands with many a man a few hours, and yea, a few minutes before his homegoing. I've had many one to tell me, Brother Robertson, it's all right. Everything is all right. The fear is gone. I'm trusting in the Lord, and heaven is my home. The Christian comes to die. Then we must remember the sinner must die also. I've watched the sinners come to die. I've heard the lost scream in the hour of death. As death came rolling upon them, they saw themselves in the last moments of life. Then they began to scream and cry for some kind of help. They came to the time of death. I say we're marked for death, number one. Number two, death is not the end of life. The soul is eternal. The soul is going to live on in heaven or in hell. In hell with suffering and torment forever and ever. In heaven in glory and bliss and joy and peace forever. The soul is eternal. A minister turned one day to a young college graduate, a very brilliant young man. He said, I hear that you're celebrated somewhat for your mathematical skill. He said, I have a problem that I wish you'd solve. And the young man said, what is the problem? And the minister said, this is it. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? This young college man was unsaved. And when he began to think on it, why, he said, there's no answer that I can give. There wasn't but one answer. That was the answer of surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did so and became later a preacher of the gospel. Listen, the soul is eternal. Let me read to you from the Word. In Job 14 and 14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Listen again. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. The Bible speaks in every place of the eternity of the soul. You have an eternal soul. No, you are an eternal soul. You are an eternal soul. This body is just a tabernacle for a while, but the soul is eternal, and death is not the end of life. The Word of God says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we put our faith in Jesus, then we become the children of God, and life eternal is ours. When a man turns his back upon the Savior, when he rejects the Son of God, is that all? Does he die like the cattle of the field, like the dog of the street? Oh no! His soul goes into an everlasting eternal hell. For the Word says, he's condemned and condemned already and separated from God and heaven. The beast and the false prophet were cast into hell. And the Bible says that after 1,000 years, they were still there. And when the devil was cast into hell, the beast and the false prophet were still there. And the suffering was going on. Listen, dear one. The soul is eternal. The soul is eternal. You are a soul. And it'll be heaven or hell for you. The soul is eternal. I mentioned to my class a while ago something that I can't get away from, and you'll forgive me. I trust that somehow I might forget it after a few days, but I haven't been able to up to this time. I trust that after a while I'll say nothing more about it. But right now it burdens me, it disturbs me, it troubles me. When you think of the eternity of the soul, I stood by the side of the electric chair in the Tennessee State Prison in Nashville, Tennessee on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. I watched the chair and saw it, how it was put together and what they had around it. I saw the place where the bodies are placed after death comes. As they strap the body down to a table, so that it might be in a certain position when it's carried away by the undertaker. I saw the chair. An old-looking chair in an old brick building. A building that must be many, many years old. The chair, you can walk inside of the prison. They examine you three times as you go through the different gates. After you go through the final gate, you walk up to the prison. And the chaplain said, this is what we call walking the last mile. Here was a little concrete pavement going up to the old brick house where the chair was located. I stood alongside of it. I said, when will the next person die? He said, in just a few weeks. I think he said some couple of weeks. Another will come to die in the chair. I said, and where will you be? He said, I'll be standing right here. They've asked that I stand here when the executions are held. He said, I'll be standing right here by the side of the chair. Oh, my dear friend, I turned a few feet away from the chair and spoke to a young man in a prison cell in the same building, just one building. I think there were three cells in the prison, in that little building. Here was a Negro man, and I witnessed to him and asked him about his soul and talked to him for a moment. I didn't ask him if he was going to die in the chair. I didn't know what to say, and so I talked about the Lord Jesus. I could be sure about that, Jimmy. So I told him about the Savior and tried to witness to him for a moment. Are you listening to me? The soul is eternal. And for your soul, it'll be heaven or it'll be hell. I must give a third thought. Death is a drive and an encouragement to our lives. Death, the fact of death, as we see it, it drives us on. And any man or any woman will begin to be conscious of the fact that this body dies and that we come to face God. We'll begin to say, I'm going to serve God with all of my heart. We're faced with the shortness of days. Just a brief time, that's all. It'll soon be over. Just a little while. Then on the other side, the briefness, the brevity of time. We've got to do what we're going to do now. Whether we only live to be as old as Robert Murray McShane, who died before he was 30, or George Mueller when he was over 90, but in the same way we're to live and we're to serve God with all of our hearts because of the shortness of time. Then the uncertainty of time. I cannot stand here this morning and promise you anything. No doctor can stand here. No association of doctors. No one in this world can promise you a thing. My dear friend, you may leave this building and you may not leave the building. A live person. You may get home and you may not get home. The uncertainty of our days. Then there's something that should drive us on. The needs of others. The needs of others when we consider this matter of death. Then we should be driven on by the fact of the shortness of time. The uncertainty of our days. And then we'll say, I'm going to serve God to the best of my ability every day that He gives me, to the last day of life. Ordinarily, when a preacher talks about death, he's just talking to the sinners, but I'm talking to Christians right now. I'm talking to the children of God. I'm talking to those of you who are saved by grace divine. You should say, for the best and to the best of my ability, I give myself wholly and completely unto the Lord, that God might have me and that God might use me in the service of Jesus Christ. On your eyelids is the shadow of death. In Murfreesboro, Tennessee, I noted the other day someone was telling me about it. There's a doctor there who's over 90 years of age. This is the amazing thing. The doctor goes to his office every day, and the doctor is busy and working all of the time. And somebody asked him why he didn't retire. He said, I shall never retire. He said, I'm going to work as long as life lasts. In this body, I'll keep on working. I'll keep on working. I don't know whether he's a Christian doctor or not. I trust he is. He's past 90 years of age. But I know this. the thing that he said is good. And he should say, and we should say, we'll keep on working, for death is coming. Life will soon be over. What we're going to do, we must do it now, and serve God with all of the fervor of our hearts. Maybe like Stephen, in the very shadow of death, when Stephen gave his great testimony, then they rushed upon him with angry hands. They tore him. They cast him outside and cast the stones upon him and brought him to his death. But he rejoiced in the hour of death. Or it may be like the Apostle Paul, who never ceased to labor. Paul working right down to the last minute of life and saying, I'm working. I finished the course, but he kept on going. He had something to do. He was working. And death should be an encouragement to drive us on in our service for Jesus Christ. May God grant this morning that every Christian in this house will begin to say, I'm here for just a while. My time is uncertain, but what I have, I'm going to give to God with all of my heart and with every energy of my soul. I'm going to serve Him. You say, if I do that, then people think that I'm foolish. That's right. They'll think you're a nut. But you go right on and do it just the same. Amen? You serve God just. It doesn't matter what people may say. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about one thing. Doing what God wants me to do. Because one day I must stand before Him. Now, number four, death is a reminder of man's need to prepare to meet God. Death is a reminder. Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The shadow of death is upon everyone. The fact of death is all around us. Every human being is touched by decay and death. Every hour that you live, the shadow of death is upon your eyelids, and death may soon come. The fact of death is written down for us in the Word of God. The Bible tells us that every human being is touched by the shadow of death, and only the second coming of Jesus can keep you from the grave. That man is foolish, who gives no consideration to the matter of death, when death is promised to us, if Jesus tarries. Voltaire, the infidel, turned away from God and from salvation. But it's a well-known story that a Christian physician stood by his bedside in his last hours. This man who had despised the things of God had rejected salvation. When he came to the end of his life, was screaming and crying and saying, I'm mad, and get me a mad doctor. Anyone to come just to help me. But he had turned away from God and from salvation, from Christ and everlasting life. And he died in miserable agony of soul and body. Foolish is the man who spends his days in work, in pleasure, and fails to remember that he's immortal. Make preparation for death. Make it howl by repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible I hold in my hands points out the need of man and tells man that Christ is the only way of salvation. This book tells us that there's a place where death cannot enter, and that place is heaven. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Do you know Christ is your Savior? Can you say, I fear not, for He's mine? Oh, there may be a little human fear. There may be a dislike for the subject of death. There may be a turning away, but inside of your heart there's no fear. On your eyelids is the shadow of death, but in your heart there's peace. As you say, Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. I fear not. I can take it as God wants to bring it to me. I can take it, whatever it may be. I want to so live that others may see Christ in my heart and in my life. The story is told of a little girl who lived a short distance from a big powder mill. And one night the powder mill exploded. And when it exploded, a number of people were killed. When the little girl heard about it, she made this statement. Listen. She said, people who work in powder mills ought to be good people, shouldn't they? People who work in powder mills ought to be good people. I want to go beyond it. Say to you, my dear friend, the whole world is a powder keg. And people who live in this world, a world that is facing destruction, should be Christian people and should know Christ as Savior and should say we're going to follow Him, our Savior and Lord and Master. God grant that you'll do it in this hour. May we pray. In just a moment, we sing an invitation song. I'm burdened this morning for people who are lost in sin. I'm burdened this morning that you might know the Savior. I wonder if you'd tell me before we have a prayer together. Are you a child of God? Can you say, Christ is my Savior, He's mine. Jesus is my Savior. If you're a child of God, would you raise your hand? Put it up high. Every Christian here, God bless you, dear hearts. Thank you. Put them down. I wonder if there's some here this morning who cannot raise the hand. You say, Brother Robertson, I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. I want you to pray for me. I'm not a Christian. Pray for me. Pray for me. Would you slip up your hand? Men, women, boys, or girls, put your hand up high. Just raise your hand and say, I'm not saved. I have never been saved. God bless you, friend. God bless you. Someone else. Quickly. All around the building. I'll look everywhere now. Try to see every place. Just raise your hand for a moment and hold it there. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else, say this morning, remember me in prayer. Christians, pray for the unsaved. The shadow of death. On my eyelids is the shadow of death. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to sing an invitation song. Now we plead that Thou wilt speak to the hearts of the people. May sinners repent and believe. May they turn from self, from sin, from the world, and turn to Jesus Christ. Bring them now. Bring them right now down these aisles, from the balcony, from the downstairs, from every part of the building. Bring them to Jesus now. Then there are Baptists who should come today by letter or by statement. May they come and join with us. Others should come and rededicate their hearts and lives and give themselves anew to the Savior. May they come this morning. Speak to hearts. As we sing, dear Father, bring the people forward in Jesus' dear name. 262. No one leaving the building unless you're sick until the service is completely over. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. And as we sing, will you come? Boys and girls, men and women, will you come to Jesus? Jesus died to save you. Will you trust Him now as your Savior? Baptist friends, come on by letter of a statement. However it may be, you come. Others come who want to rededicate their hearts and lives. Let's stand, please, and sing it. And will you come as we sing, Jesus is tender. Come on, friend. Farther and farther away. Yes, come on. He's calling. Jesus is calling. Watch very carefully to let people out from your place if someone is trying to get by you. Be sensitive and watch carefully. Listen, dear one, this is the hour. This is the time that God has given you to be saved, and this is the time for you to come and say, I want Christ as my Savior today. Jesus, who died on the cross, I'll trust Him now. I'll take Him now. If you're not quite sure, come and let my folks pray with you and talk to you and give you the Word of God. Let's sing the second stanza. Jesus is calling the weary to rest. Sing it, please. Jesus is calling. Thank you. I know there must be many others in the building. I'm confident of it. I know it. There must be 25 or 30 more of you should walk out of your places. That's right. You say, Brother Robertson, so many. Yes, that there are that many in this building and more. Will you come today? Jesus, who died on the cross to save your soul, is pleading for you to come. Will you come to Jesus? Come on. We have no promise of tonight or tomorrow or next Sunday. We don't know. We don't know. We just don't know. Now's the time. Come. On my eyelids is the shadow of death. On your eyelids this morning is the shadow of death. Are you prepared to meet God? Let's sing that third stanza. Leave your place and come. Sing it, please. Jesus is waiting. Praying. Put your songbooks in the rack. You don't need them any longer. I want you to pray now. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you that more than 2,000 of you are really praying. I want to see what 2,000 prayers can do this morning. Will other folks walk down these aisles because you pray? Yes, they will, if you really pray. Pray for sinners. Pray for Christians who are backslidden. Pray for folks that God will have His way. Now pray. I want to see what 2,000 prayers can do. Now really pray, really pray. Help someone to your side, some man or woman to your side, and say, come to Jesus now. Settle it today. The shadow of death is upon everything around us. All is passing away. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Come to Jesus, come now. Choir, sing the fourth one.